this 47th legislative day. Will the members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 17 members present this morning. Senators Fakes and Fisher are excused from the call of the Senate.
Please stand for the invocation by the chaplain, Reverend Lou Rooker, Northern Lights United Presbyterian Church.
Shall we pray? Almighty God, we give you thanksgiving for the intense beauty of your creation and for the opportunity that you have given each of us to live in the midst of such beauty. We give you thanks also for the ways you have revealed yourself to humankind. And we pray that you might reveal your will to us in these days of deliberation and debate. Impart to the proceedings of this Senate a spirit of wisdom and fair play. Impart to the members of this Senate the qualities of leadership and statesmanship in order that our government may bring out the best which is in us. We pray for energy to do this day's work and for rest and refreshment over the weekend. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Today is Christy Magnuson's birthday, so would Senate page Christy Magnuson please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Jones?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the preface of the journal for the 46th legislative day.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved to certify by the Senate Secretary for the 46th legislative day.
Without objection, the journal is approved to certify. Introduction of guests. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me is a good friend, a distinguished anchorage attorney, and my law partner, Jerron Offer.
Senator Rohde?
In addition, I'm fortunate to have the principal of one of my schools, Sand Lake School. Please help me welcome Mrs. D. Klein.
Senator Strzelewski.
Yes, Mr. President, I'm delighted to introduce from Senator Jan Fakes' district and in mine. Joe Sanders is here, president of the Alaska Foreign Language Association, and Jade Vitone with the State Council for Bilingual Bicultural Education.
Senator Strzelewski.
Yes, I'd also like to introduce, absent today, is Senator Paul Fisher, and we have several people from his district. Zeta Friedersdorf, and if this is incorrectly pronounced, we'll have to go to a former student, Troy Swackhammer, one of our pages, and get after him, from NEA Alaska. Jan Wallace Keck from the Northwest Association of Marine Educators, and Alice Taft, the Alaska Association for Bilingual Education.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Also, I have some guests to introduce, members of the Department of Education, Office of Basic Education, Strickland Cabinet. Paul Allen, who's president of the Alaska Council of Teachers of Mathematics. Jim Preston, president of the Alaska Science Teachers Association. And Armin Sabine, Alaska State Vocational Association.
Senator Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. President. It also gives me great pleasure to introduce to the Senate another member of the Curriculum Cabinet, Alan McCurry, who is president of the Alaska Association for Computers in Education. Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Eliason.
Mr. President, I have two members also. From Mount Edgecombe, we have Brenda Campen, who is the president-elect of Alaska Council for Social Studies. And with Brenda is Lois Peterson, who's the Alaska Association of School Librarians from Metlakatla School District. Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Porchell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce three constituents of mine and Senator Euling's, H.J. Slider in the far gallery, who's president of the Alaska Arts and Education, and Dr. Kate Odell, who's with the Alaska Council of Teachers of English. Mr. President, in the
Senator
gallery behind me, a friend and constituent, Mr. Mark Phelps.
Senator Halford.
Thank you. Also from our district with the curriculum cabinet, we have Tom Poe, who's president of the Association for Physical Education, Recreation, and Dance. And we have Cindy Martindale, the last association for the Education of Children's Club.
Senator Adams.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have Reggie Jewell from Kotzebue here visiting us today.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have a constituent down for the curriculum cabinet meeting in the far gallery from the community of Antioch on the banks of the Kuskokwim River, Jane Niebergall, who is the president of Mary's Wood Educational Resources Center. Also, Mr. President, if I might, another very good friend, a longtime friend of mine in the gallery behind us, who is here for the State Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Board meetings. He's also the president of the Lower Kuskokwim School District, a former president of the Alaska Association of School Board Presidents, and most important, my past campaign manager for the last two campaigns, my good friend Robert Nick.
Senator Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have a couple of constituents there with the curriculum cabinet. In the far gallery, we have Vivian Echevarria. From Dellingham. She is the president of the Alaska Health Association Consortium. And I don't know if Mr. Janes has come in. Looks like Vivian is the only one here. Thank you. Welcome for coming. Mr. President, also I would like to introduce to the body an individual that is down here visiting. He is one of the people there that braves the oceans. He's a fisherman. He spends time in the Bering Sea. I'd like to welcome him to the Senate. He's down visiting, Mr. John Klimczak.
Senator Frank.
Thank you. President, in the gallery behind me is one of my constituents from Fairbanks, Kim Ratz. He's with the Community Schools Program in Fairbanks. Please help me welcome.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. Another constituent of Senator Frank and myself is Felicia Leipzig. She's president of the Alaska State Reading Association. Help me welcome Felicia.
Further introduction, Senator Curtula.
Of course, the last to be introduced is always the most important. Also from the curriculum cabinet and with the Alaska Natural Resource and Outdoor Education, from on behalf of Senator Domanski and myself, is Linda Frank.
Just one note, Mark Belts is related to, I believe, is the son of the former president of the Senate that we've named one of our committee rooms after. Further introduction of guests? Messages from the governor.
Messages dated February 23. Dear Senator Kelly, I have read the following resolutions and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution number 9 by the Finance Committee relating to Alliance Bank is now legislative resolve number 2. Senate Concurrent Resolution number 10 relating to the promotion of Colonel Lars L. Johnson to Major General in the Alaska National Guard is legislative resolve number 3. And committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution number 5 by the Resources Committee amended, encouraging citizen participation in statewide beach cleanup and anti-dumping efforts is legislative resolve number 4. Those are all the messages from the governor.
Messages from the House.
Message dated February 23. Mr. President, the House has passed the following and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Bill number 58, Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Enforcement and Penalty Provisions of Certain Laws on Fire Protection, Fireworks, and Warning Placards for Hazardous Substances, authorizing the adoption and use of alternative designs for warning placards for hazardous substances, and amending Alaska Rule of Appellate Procedure 603A2 and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 105, Judiciary amended by the Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Mandatory Use of Safety Devices in Motor Vehicles and Motor Vehicle Bodily Injury Liability Insurance Rates.
Transportation, and since it has picked up a fiscal note, Finance.
And House Bill number 114 by the Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Examination of Regulations and of Opinions and Decisions Issued by Courts and Agencies on the Law of the State.
Judiciary.
Those are all the messages from the House.
Communications.
There are no communications this morning.
Reports to standing committees.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution 23, Health Care Cost Containment Task Force, and a majority of the members recommend do pass. The report was signed by Senators Ewling and Binkley co-chairs and concurred in by Senators Duncan, Frank, Pierce, and Zaroff. There's a fiscal note attached. Senate Concurrent Resolution 23 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Finance Committee considered SJR 19, disapproving the Local Boundary Commission recommendation for annexation of territory to the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and reports it back as follows. Senator Binkley, co-chair, signed do pass. Senator Ewling, co-chair, signed, and Senator Zaroff, Duncan, and Pierce signed no recommendation. Senator Frank signed do not pass. There's a zero fiscal note and a fiscal note attached, and there is no further referral to the bill.
Rules Committee.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution number 22 relating to federal wilderness areas in Alaska, and a majority of the members recommend do pass. The report was signed by Senator Fahrenkamp, chair, and concurred in by Senators Eliason, Frank, Halford, and Zaroff. A zero fiscal note is attached. Senate Joint Resolution 22 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill 86, Child Custody Determination, and recommends do pass. The report was signed by Senator Fakes, chair, and concurred in by Senators Szymanski, Pierce, Halford, and Rohde. Two previous zero fiscal notes attached. Senate Bill 86 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
And the Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 66, Immunity for Treatment of Intoxicated Persons, an effective date, and a majority of the members recommend calendar. The report was signed by Senator Sturgiolowski, chair, and concurred in by Senators Rohde, Kurtula, and Eliason. Senate Bill 66 is on today's calendar. Those are all the standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees?
There are no special reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions?
There are no Senate resolutions this morning.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 187 by Senator Zaroff, entitled An Act Relating to Withholding State Education Funds.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Senate Bill number 188 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Increasing the Motor Fuel Tax.
Transportation, Finance.
Senate Bill number 189 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Relating to Examination of Intoxicated or Incapacitated Persons in Protective Custody.
Health, Education, Social Services.
Senate Bill number 190 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Changing the Name of the Alaska State Building Authority and Providing for an Effective Date.
Labor and Commerce.
And Senate Bill number 191 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Relating to Employment Contributions and to the Establishment of Employment and Training Programs and Providing for an Effective Date.
Community Regional Affairs, Labor and Commerce, Finance.
Those are all the Senate bills for introduction this morning.
Consideration of the daily calendar. Would the Secretary please read the first item of business on today's calendar? Senator Sampson. Please come back to order. Will the Secretary read the first item of business on today's calendar?
Senate Bill number 66 by Senators Halford, Kelly, Fakes, and Jones, an act relating to immunity for treatment of intoxicated persons and providing for an effective date. Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Adams, chair, and Senator Frank signed do pass. Senators Pierce and Prochot signed no recommendation. Senator Szymanski signed do not pass. Zero fiscal note attached. Judiciary Committee considered the bill and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 66, Jude, new title and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Fakes, chair, concurring, Senators Pierce and Halford. Senators Rohde and Szymanski signed do not pass. Zero fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Sturgiolowski, chair, concurring, Senators Rohde, Kurtula, and Eliason. As a committee substitute.
Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is a question with regard to a portion of the bill adopted by the Judiciary Committee, CS, that was recommended by the Department of Law. And for that reason, I would move and ask unanimous consent that Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 66 be returned to the Rules Committee for possible consideration next week.
Without objection, Senate Bill 66 will be returned to the Rules Committee. That brings us down to unfinished business. Announcements. Senator Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today in State Affairs, we will be taking up SB 115, dealing with the Alaska Native Affairs Commission.
and we will be bringing back before the committee SB 32 relating to registration of vehicles owned by charitable organizations. In addition, SB 75, which was heard on Wednesday, there is a draft CS being circulated, and we will try to bring that bill up on Monday.
Senator Jones.
Mr. President, the Transportation Committee will meet next Thursday, March 2nd, at 1:30 in the Belch Room. We'll take up sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 110, an act relating to certain officers and employees of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities who are stationed at an international airport.
Further announcements? Senator Sturgeon.
We have a brief at ease, please.
Then we'll stand at ease. Back to order. Senator Eliason.
Labor and Commerce will meet this afternoon at 3:30 in the Belts Room. We'll be taking up Senate Bill 51, an act extending the time period for a person to become a certified workers' compensation rehabilitation specialist, and Senate Bill 151, an act exempting certain persons employed as commissioned automotive technicians from Alaska Wage and Hour Act. And also we'll be finishing work on Senate Bill 162, which is revising the Simplified Financing Mortgage Loan Program, Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, at 3:30 in the Belts Room.
Senator Sturgeluski.
Mr. President, I'd like to announce a Rules Committee meeting today at 1 o'clock. And I'm pleased to announce that we're having just a real flood of bills, so you might expect to see exciting things on the calendar next week, like two bills a day, maybe. At the Butrovich Room at 1 o'clock, SJR 8, tax treatment for closed property, SB 25, common interest community managers, SB 37, highway facilities, veterans memorials, SB 82, CFAP loans and lending practices, SB 117, special request university lending practices, SB 139, extension of the guide task force, SCR 23, the health care cost containment task force, SB 70, genetic testing and paternity cases. And, Mr. President, a number of people will be traveling, so if they could let me know their interest in having those bills on the floor, I'd appreciate receiving that. Thank you.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. This afternoon at 1:30, Senate Resources will be meeting in the Butrovich Room. We'll be taking up committee substitute for SJR 16 relating to acquisition, preservation, and interpretation of the historic Kennecott Mine by the National Park Service, SB 30, repeal of the 25-cent resident hunting, trapping, and sports fishing license and related exemptions, HB 62, allowing the Department of Fish and Game to adopt regulations for disabled or medically handicapped persons. Also, Executive Order 73 on the Fish and Game license transfer, and then going into a joint meeting with the House Resources Committee to review three area plans that were requested by the membership. And I certainly hope that travel doesn't interfere with or your other commitments with us being able to work with the House Resources on this, since it's important that the members work together if we wish to rush legislation.
Further announcements. Special orders. Senator Sturgeluski.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I speak very briefly on the President's visit.
Without objection, you have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, it was an honor to attend the President and Mrs. Bush's very brief stopover in Anchorage, but the wonder of briefing, he knew all about Fort Rich, the Fur Rondi, Lower 48, all done without a glitch and a big smile, very positive, and certainly positive in terms of the ANWR and also recognition of what's happening in the permanent with the international trade. What was exciting was to see the crowd, which was military and community, and Chuna and the Yupik dancers, people with the blanket toss, never seen anybody tossed as high and turn a somersault and land on his feet, the children's choir. It was a really big show, and I hope you all read in the paper the two articles done by the Soviet journalists where they talked about the fact that they'd never seen a member of the military with a baby in one arm and a baby bottle in the other, and they said that's something they'd never see in their own country, but it was a very warm and special day, and I could not have helped but made an impression on the President and Mrs. Bush. She was overwhelmingly received, I think, as much attention as certainly the President received. It's obvious she's going to be a very popular First Lady. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that we revert to unfinished business.
Without objection, revert to unfinished business.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the following bills receive an additional referral to the Finance Committee: SB 159, an act limiting liability relating to release and supervisions of persons in state custody.
Would the Senate please stand at ease? Order. Senator Ewling.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that I withdraw that motion.
You'll replace the motion on Monday, Senator?
Right, on Monday. Fine.
Without objection, the motion withdrawn.
Mr. President, Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused on Monday until plain time, just in case, because I do have a constituent meeting this weekend, just as protection.
Without objection, Senator Ewling will be excused on Monday. Further special orders or unfinished business, Senator?
I want special orders.
Senator Curtula.
I move and ask unanimous consent to make a brief comment on the Alaska Conference of Mayors report.
Without objection, you have the floor, Senator.
President, members, now going up in a highly theoretical economics environment, courses in the university, we learned that budget deficit wasn't too important if the deficit was within your own country, and the profits and interest that went from the federal government back to various areas of investors was reinvested, created jobs and the economy and tax base to continue. And I've for a long time been concerned that that federal deficit exists out of America. And of course there's a theory now of trading partners, and the deficit, so long as within a sphere, still doesn't matter. I'm not so certain, although very successful businessmen do believe that way. I first want to quote from a professor of economics at Northwestern University, because he now seeks, and I realize we have to balance our budget, that's a constitutional requirement, but he now seeks to explain in his book how real is the federal deficit, and I'll touch immediately upon where I feel the state fits into this. By way of just slight introduction, he is stating that an appropriate monetary policy would, by the way, lower our reported budget deficits, he's speaking federally, both by lowering Treasury interest payments and by its favorable effect on national income and consequent government revenues. But he said, and this is what's important, and this is what I feel is somewhat lacking in our continuing efforts here. We could then proceed on the one route by which public policy can help our grandchildren, by investing in our infrastructure of roads, bridges, and airports, in our natural resources of land, water, and air, and in the basic research, education, and health on which long-term prosperity depends. And if that takes deficits with consequences of increasing debt, which they probably would and should, the only loss will be the myths by which all too much of the public, our politicians and distinguished press, still live. Mr. President, when the federal government ceased to contribute to the local and regional economic purpose, you had a lot of aggressive states go out there and hustle trade in Asia, bring in plants, bring in industry, and the state of Alaska is making some of these same attempts. If we don't at the legislative level produce a significant state leadership, then we'll find that vacuum being taken by others. Their concern is out there, and they're going to suggest methods of employing and methods of providing an economy and methods of providing a base for development in this state. Now, the Alaska Conference of Mayors report to the joint sessions of the Finance Committee was attended by some of you, I'm certain. I was not in attendance. But they're suggesting that some of the programs will help develop infrastructure and ensure quality efforts. And the mayors over the last 3 months have studied these issues, and the result of their statewide survey conducted during the last 21 days, these are their suggestions so that you have an economic opportunity, you have a budget that's capable of doing some of the infrastructure development that's tangential to the federal suggestions. One, of course, they recommend that a management audit should be performed to indicate the appropriateness of state services and the most effective method of delivering them. And of course, I believe the Finance Committee and the agencies that are available pretty much get involved in that. I didn't think the governor in his introductory speech to the legislature stated enough that we should look at being and performing properly any budget reductions that, you know, can be meaningful and still not destroy what our basic government responsibility is. But now they also suggest modify the economic limit factor according to House Bill 118, now before the first session of the 16th legislature, reinstate the state income tax, allowing for maximum capture revenue from non-resident employees working within the state, increase the motor fuels tax from 8 to 16 cents a gallon with appropriate rebates for boating and off-road fuel use. That was recommended by the Governor's Task Force on Transportation. They also, in education short-term, reinstate the Alaska state tax at a rate, and that's the Alaska state school tax, the rate of $50 per year for Alaska wage earners. And they also have a number of other methods of increasing the economic activity with state support, including they strongly suggest that we maintain the Rail Belt Energy Fund for use in the Rail Belt. Some of these programs are coming out of people that have, and these are signed by two of the state's leading mayors, John Williams, Harry Geisler of Seward, and John Williams, who is the president of the Alaska Conference. The other is known as the treasurer. These suggestions are no more politically popular with the people they represent than our own. They are identical to our own. But at least they're making some suggestions for the consideration that their specific interests be continued, and that's regional and local educational tax support, the revenue sharing programs, and those municipal service programs that they don't have a large enough base in which to support, but they feel are fundamental to operation and development of an economy in their area. Well, again, I commend the Conference of Mayors for their efforts, and this is their survey, results of their survey, and I want to at least have the Senate recognize that there are people out there willing to support some methods of increasing the state's income and providing some of these basic services that we're beginning to cut into. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Eliason.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to speak briefly on a news release we received from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game this morning.
Without objection, you have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, the news release says that the United States-Canada Pacific Salmon Commission annual meeting concluded in Portland on February 17th with no changes in any harvest allocation between the two countries. As you may recall, Mr. President, we passed a resolution, Senate Joint Resolution number 17, which pretty well defined the interest of the state of Alaska in increasing its Chinook salmon quota for numerous reasons. And those of us who are out on the fishing grounds are very well aware of the amount of fish that we're turning loose, which are going down to specifically the Washington area. And I feel very distressed over this. I think that the fishing community, and not only them, but all the people of Southeast Alaska should have, has a direct interest in what is happening. And it goes on to say, as a result of being unable to reach accord on any expired an annex, all 1988 arrangements will be held in 1989, which means that we're going on the same old thing in 1989, which we've waited for 5 years for this to be changed, and it's going to be another year. This means that Alaska Chinook salmon base quota remains at 263,000 fish, which we're going to harvest in 10 days. And it goes on to say that there were not very many people pleased with this outcome. I can absolutely agree with that. I don't think there's anybody in Alaska that agrees with this. There were long and difficult negotiations which left us at an impasse. Potentially, we could have left Portland with no fishers agreement for 1989 season. I suggest maybe that's what we should have done. Maybe we should have left Portland. It's about time that we assert ourselves when we get involved in those fisheries exchanges with other countries and other states. We're not only being ripped off, as far as I'm concerned, on Chinooks, but we're being ripped off in the Bering Sea with trawlers that come from the state of Washington. I think sometime, somewhere, we have to draw a line. And we continue to support the principles of the treaty, which are conservation, equitable harvest, as said Collinsworth. We're becoming concerned about the negotiation process. Well, it's about time. 6 years of it, you should be damn concerned. Especially with the difficult Chinook allocation discussions. I think the process needs to be reevaluated. I'm sure that we agree with that. Mr. President, I think this was a shotgun marriage to begin with, and maybe it's time we terminate it.
Thank you, Senator. Further special orders? Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday.
Without objection, the Senate stands in adjournment.